Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Let's open up together to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So, like has been mentioned several times, and we all know today's a special day. Today is Father's Day. And given that I just finished the book of Malachi last Sunday, and Pastor Rick was supposed to be back up this week, but he decided he wanted another week off. No, we'll pray for him. His back's hurting real bad. And so he asked me to step in, and I'm happy to be used by the Lord in this way. So for today, I wasn't ready to dive into the next book. So instead, we'll do a topical message about Father's Day, which is not usually that normal for us. We like to do the through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as much as we can. But, you know, every once in a while, we'll throw one in. As I was preparing for this message and trying to figure out what I was going to say and kind of looking online to take temperature of what the world is saying and what might need to be said, I was surprised to find how many people find a Father's Day style message to be problematic. That mostly women who were speaking out against it, women who don't particularly belong in the position that they've been given. But that's a different discussion. We could have that another time. But a lot of them were saying that a message like this that I'm going to give about fathers downplays the role of a mother. Or one person said that when we talk about fathers and their influence, we're pitting a father's influence versus that of a mother, and that we shouldn't be doing that. And I couldn't read those and take them seriously. I thought, how absurd that you would be so offended that the Lord would try to minister to a person in their life circumstances. This isn't about taking away from the importance of motherhood. It's not about saying that a man and a father's influence versus a mother's influence are at odds with one another. But instead, God wants to minister to people in all stages of life. And, you know, it isn't hard to look around at this world. It isn't hard to even look into the church and see that this issue of fatherhood needs to be addressed and probably should be addressed more often than it is. So this morning, my goal is to exhort the fathers. And you know, looking out here, I see plenty of non-men, women. And so you might be thinking, like, what am I going to get from this message? And my hope is that as we talk this morning, that, you know, we'll come to understand what the calling of a father is. And for a woman, how to help your husband or the father that is in your life to fulfill that calling. If you can understand better what the Lord has tasked them with, then you're better equipped to come alongside and to help them. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 as our text for this morning. And so this is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel towards the end of his life. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning and this time to come together to talk about the role of a father in people's lives and how important that is and how big of a task and responsibility it is as a father. Lord, I pray this morning that we would desire to do it more right. Lord, no matter where we are, whether we're really stumbling in it or whether we feel like we're doing okay at it, Lord, that we would know that we could be doing better, and you desire better for us, and you've given us your word, and we're going to talk about all the things that you've given us that equip us for this. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts would have a desire to draw closer to you and to use the responsibility of being a father to better glorify you. Lord, I lift up to you again Pastor Rick, pray healing over his body. I lift up all those in our church who are dealing with illness or sickness or frail bodies. Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, fathers are important, right? Only a crazy person is going to tell you otherwise, and there are plenty of crazy people out there who will tell you that fathers are not important. Many fathers are toxic, or you know, we shouldn't be pouring into men in this way. That's foolishness, and we're just going to kick that right out. That's not worth having in our mind, even as a consideration. Fathers are important. And, you know, it's funny to me because if you read any kind of scholarly literature on the importance of a father, it's all there. Every single study they've ever done about the raising of a child or the success of a person or literally anything as has to do with the development of a person, it always comes back to the importance of the father. I've got a few that we'll put up here. The University of Pennsylvania said this when they did a study. Children who feel a closeness and warmth with their father are twice as likely to enter college, 75% less likely to have a child in their teen years, 80% less likely to be incarcerated, and half as likely to show various signs of depression. There was a really long-term study, a 26-year-long study done by the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, or at least I actually don't remember who it was done by, but it was published in this journal. And I've got two things from them. One, the number one factor in developing empathy in children was father involvement. And second, fathers spending regular time alone with their children translated into children who become compassionate adults. All of these things are good things, right? These are all things we would want. Less substance abuse and less depression. That's great. Those things are rampant and are wrecking the lives of young people. We want our children to be compassionate. Now, we might disagree with the world on what exactly that means, but that's another teaching. We want our children to be successful, and we might disagree with the world on what that means, but that's a different teaching. And we want our kids to be empathetic, and we might disagree with what that means, but that's another teaching, right? But the point is, those are all good things. Those are things that we want, but none of those are the most important thing. Fathers have the ability to affect their children's lives in an even more meaningful way. And we're going to put a statistic up now that was done by a study in Switzerland, which, you know, a few caveats. First off, Switzerland is less religious than the USA is. So these numbers, I'll explain them in a second. These numbers apply to them, not necessarily to the United States, but we're going to see through it the impact that fathers have on their children. And what this is about is a father's faith and how he engages and how active he is in his faith and what that results in the adult child and their faith. This, I had to simplify the image, but all of these numbers come first from understanding the involvement in his faith of the father against the involvement level of the mother, and understanding just how heavily influenced children are by their fathers. So a father who regularly engaged in his faith, regardless of what the mother did, whether she was regular, irregular, or non-faith, or non-practicing, 38% of the children were regularly involved in their own faith. The 72% that's next to that had to do with if a mother... that number is adding in children who then were irregular in their faith, but still said that they had faith. So a father who was regularly engaged in his faith resulted in upwards of 72% of the children being at least claiming they were Christians and in some way engaging in their faith, even if it was irregular. But then look at how fast the number drops. If a father is irregular in his faith, on average, it was 12%, regardless of how strongly the mother was trying to impact the children, how much she brought them to church or how engaged she was. And if the father had no faith at all, it was basically hopeless. I mean, 1.5. It's not hopeless. There's always hope with Christ. But I mean, these numbers, right? They speak for themselves. The impact that a father has on a child coming out the other side to believe in the Lord is, I mean, there it is. It's huge. Like I said, I had to simplify this a lot, but if we were to look at it in more depth when it came to the mother's engagement, one thing you would see through these numbers is that the father would, directly undermines the impact of the mother. It didn't matter how hard the mother worked. If the father did not care, it didn't turn out. A mother who was regularly engaged in her faith and a father who had no faith, that number, 2.8, actually went down to 1.5. Fathers are the most important factor in a child coming to the Lord. Over the past few decades, the number of people attending church has been in decline. I think we've all seen that. This is even before COVID and stuff like that. And you know what number has increased in those same decades? Fatherlessness. Fathers leaving the home is directly correlated to less people attending church, right? Correlation, causation, that's always the question. I think there's something there more than just a correlation when we look at statistics like these. So when we take all this stuff, What does this mean for a father? What are we going to talk about for Father's Day? Fathers have a special calling because of this impact that they have. They have a calling to emulate the spiritual life that they want their children to have. Regardless of their own upbringing, right? It doesn't matter if I wasn't raised a Christian or if I had poor role models to me, my responsibility is to my children. And I have the opportunity to break that chain of disobedience to the Lord. I can choose to dig into my faith and to trust in the Lord. And this shows that it will turn out. It more often than not will result in more people coming to the Lord because my children look to me. So where do you start with that though? As a father, you know, the role is so vital in the child's view of God. And as I was working through this, I was thinking, like, that's too important. Why did God put that on me? My child's faith, my child's view of God is dependent on me. And the amount of pressure that that brings, that's anxiety-inducing sometimes. And so today, what I want to do is I want to give to fathers a right way to go about it. Because it is a big task. It is incredibly important. But we have to start somewhere. And we're going to start by understanding that God loves you. Not that God loves my children. Not that God loves all of humanity. God loves me. I have to understand that first. If I don't grasp onto that and hold on to it, then I do not have what I need to be impactful in the way that my child needs. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was far from him, God sent his son Christ to die on the cross for me." He sent his son to break the bondage of power, the bondage and power of sin, to bring us back to him. And if we believe in Jesus, then the Bible says that we are a child of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." We have a Father in heaven who is all powerful, all knowing, eternal, unchanging, full of grace and mercy, and he calls us his child. And I'm just realizing now I repeated a point. He loves me. That was the first thing. It's the third thing too. He loves me. That's how important it is. John 17:23, and that the world, this is the Lord speaking in his prayer for all believers in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, that is believers and people, as you have loved me. The same love that God gives within the Trinity, God the Father to God the Son, he loves us with that same love. God is attentive to your needs. Matthew 6:8, as he is preparing to teach what prayer ought to look like in the Lord's Prayer, he starts with this. He says, your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Reminding us that, you know, when I feel like I am in lack or I am wanting, that God sees my needs and already plans to take care of it, and that I don't need to worry about it. God teaches and corrects me. Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And he will comfort us. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He gives good gifts, Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He is unchanging, meaning that these promises that we've been reading about are certain. They are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Right? Well, I said that from memory. That's what it actually says. I look over it, it looked different. Yeah, okay, so again, what we're talking about here is what a father has to know about his relationship to God. I'm not, again, talking about, these things are true for all believers. But as a father, I have to begin knowing these things, that God loves me and he takes care of me. He has compassion on me. He will comfort me in my need, that he gives good gifts, and that his promises are certain. Our church, Calvary Chapel French Valley, recognizes the importance of fathers and all these things that we've talked about. We operate and we make decisions with this information at the forefront of our minds. I'm going to put up here our church's vision. I don't know how many of you have looked at the church's vision, but this is the vision of the church: to glorify God by helping strong, healthy, Christ-centered families who are led by God to build world-changing, spirit-filled churches. A Christ-centered family begins with the Father. That's what that statistic told us earlier, that if there is going to be a family that gives everything to the Lord, all people in the family giving their all to God, it begins with the Father. His contribution to the spiritual life of the family cannot be understated. This is why men's ministry is so important. And Chuck reminds us every week about men's breakfast and how men should be there and we should be gathering together. We gather together to help each other in the circumstances of life, and almost all the men who are there are fathers, so we talk about this kind of stuff. It's important that we be getting together and focusing on these things, and that's why the church does that. We cannot hope to have an impact on the world if it does not begin with the Father. Our church also has a set of values that are expressed in a way to support the vision. I went out on a limb. Pastor Rick had no idea I'm going into the church's stuff like this. It's been a long time since we talked about it. But there are a set of values that the church has for trying to fulfill this vision. And the first value that is listed in the church is every man a priest. And so I want to pause for a minute and talk about why this is so important. First off, what is a priest? In a general kind of definition, a priest is the person who has the right to perform the rites and the maybe the sacrifices to some deity. Maybe they can approach God, little g God or gods, right? But we can also look in the Old Testament and we can see the Jewish priests who were there to do that same kind of thing. They were the ones that were allowed to administer the sacrifices, and they were there to draw people to God. Only the priest, and in this case the high priest, was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies to beseech the Lord for mercy and for grace and to sprinkle blood on the ark. And so priests are incredibly important. But God, the big G God, the true and living God, since he sent his son, views the priesthood differently. 1 Peter 2:9, but you, speaking of all believers, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All believers are called to be priests. And we can approach God and administer his truth and read the scriptures and teach from them as priests. But a man is called to be the spiritual leader of his home over his children. That's why we read this text in Deuteronomy 6. This is about administering God's truth into the family and how often a man ought to be doing it. When he wakes and when he rises, when he eats and when he goes down to sleep and at the doorpost and at the gate, we ought to be reminding our families and our children constantly of the truth and word of the Lord. Colossians and Ephesians both exhort fathers in the way that they engage with their children, specifically to be delicate with that child's heart, to not provoke them to anger or to embitter them or discourage them. And a father, as a believer, can approach God. Again, all believers can, and so can a father. No special priest is needed for this. And the responsibility then, as the father, as a priest, and the spiritual leader of his family, is to pass this knowledge on to the children, that they can approach God. And until they are able to do that on their own, then he acts as the priest on their behalf to bring them before the Lord. That's the job of a father. To teach them that they can do it on their own and until they're ready to do it for them. We can look in the book of Job where we see Job was the priest over his family, that he brought sacrifices to the Lord for his whole family. And that should be the desire of a father's heart, to play that role of spiritual leader and priest in their lives. And this is a huge task, an immense undertaking that is tasked to the father. And when we look out in the world, we see that many mothers fulfill this role, some out of necessity because a father won't do it, and some out of order because a woman's desire will be for her husband, as it says in Genesis chapter 3. This is a daunting task in some respects, to think that I am responsible for the faith, not that I'm responsible, but that I am responsible to be ministering into the life of my child in hopes that they will come to know the Lord for their own. Because that child's decision into adulthood, that's their own thing. I'm not responsible for them coming to know the Lord, but it is my responsibility to give them every opportunity to encounter him and to know him. Our influence is absolutely critical. And that's why we come this morning, and I want to give this exhortation to the fathers. How are we supposed to do this? In many ways, we as fathers are emulating the character of God to our children. We are not God to our children, but we do emulate his characteristics. Our influence will inform the child and affect the way that they view God. And so the question is, how in the world am I supposed to do that correctly? God is perfect, omniscient, omnipotent, that's all-knowing and all-powerful. God is patient, and he is filled with grace, and he is steadfast, and I am so far away from all of those things. And so if I am supposed to impart to my children a knowledge of the character of God, but I am so far away from those things, how do I do that? I cannot be any of those things, but I can bring my children to the one who is. When I don't know the answer to life's questions, I can bring them to God, who imparts wisdom freely when we ask for it. When I'm powerless in life's circumstances, I can bring them to God, who says that he carries them through the valley of darkness. When I'm impatient, I can point them to God, who is not like man, but is patient and gracious and merciful for a long, long time. If I'm inconsistent in discipline, I can point my children to the God of perfect justice and to know that in the end, he knows right from wrong and he always does the right thing and he will repay according to his good justice. If I'm harsh or unkind, I can remind them of how gentle God is with us. I don't have to be perfect. I just show them what I have to do. I have to go to God in prayer and in humility, into the Word. I have to show them how often I have to do that. Every day, all the time. I show them God's mercy by accepting forgiveness for the wrong things that I have done. To not let my past be a burden that I carry forever, but to live in the freedom of God's forgiveness. I show that to my children. And I show them God's grace by extending forgiveness to those who have wronged me and not holding grudges against them, but showing them that, again, God, through Christ, died to make an end to sin and bondage and pain. And I'm going to stumble and fall at times, and I need to teach my children that the only one who is unwavering is God. It's not their dad. It's not their mom. It's not their friends. It's not their future spouse. It's not their teachers. It's not even their pastor. The only one who can never fall short is God the Father. And only through Christ are they brought into fellowship with a holy God. You know, maybe your kids are grown up, and maybe you're listening to this and you're wondering, like, okay, well, you know, my kids are grown and they've already formed their ideas of who God is, so how am I supposed to take this? Well, adult children need guidance just as much as young children do. And our wrong ideas about God can be corrected by the power of the Holy Spirit and by faithful and spiritual men in our lives telling us the truth about it and not letting us continue in our foolish ways of misunderstanding God's character. And, you know, thinking about adult children, we need to be real that the power of sin is pervasive in this world. The power of darkness is always working against us. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's not just little kids. That is fathers of families. My child who has children, he's a prime target for the enemy to tear away from the things that are God's. And you know, even if they're not fathers, they're dealing with life circumstances, whether it be things like school or a job, or maybe they are in the process of getting married, or who knows what life circumstances your adult children might be going through. Guess what? For a lot of them, that's the first time they've ever encountered those kinds of things. But chances are you've done it before. You've had children. You've had job changes. You've bought a house. You've gone to school, maybe, those kinds of things. Men and our children, not even just men, but our daughters and our sons, they need guidance in those things too, to how to remain faithful to the Lord in these various circumstances where the world is always trying to tear us away from him. And you can look around the church and find people in, and I mean, again, the people who maybe their children are grown and they're having trouble seeing how they can apply maybe their knowledge or their experience or their spiritual wisdom to the younger generation. And you can look around and you can see plenty of people who maybe they did it when they had young kids. Maybe they were really going hard and they were doing their best and they were trying to be that good influence. But, you know, when their kids grew up and went out on their own, they just kind of checked out. My job here is done. Let go of the reins. I'm retired. I don't need to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. They paid their dues and it's time to relax. I'm going to tell you, no. You need to continue. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Maybe you don't have kids, or maybe you don't have a relationship with your children in order to administer wisdom in this kind of way. Well, you can act as a spiritual father to someone who doesn't have that leadership in their life. I think of Paul guiding Timothy or Peter guiding Mark. We have clear examples in the Word of men who took not their biological children, but spiritual children under their wing and brought them into an amazing fellowship with God through that wisdom that they imparted to them. Father's Day can be hard, though, for some people, because maybe you don't have a father to look to, or maybe the father that you had wasn't a good father, and you can't look up to him with any thankfulness or I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. This is my situation. I didn't have a father. My father thought that drugs and alcohol and messing around with women was more important than raising his children. And when I was 7 years old, he left. And you know, in the time that I knew him, he wasn't that great of a guy. And so for some people, coming to Father's Day can be difficult. It can bear pain with it. But this is a verse that has ministered to me greatly. Psalm 68:5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. What that means is that God in heaven sits on his throne and looks upon a man or a person and sees what they're missing. The relationship that is supposed to be so special between a child and a father. The order of a family that God has ordained as the right way to do things. His heart breaks because of it. Because of the pain and damage that sin has caused. And he sits upon his throne and he looks down at man and he says, I am your father. If you were abandoned or hurt, or if you never received what a father is supposed to give to you, Father's Day can be painful. It can remind you of a hole in your heart. And many people in today's world run from this pain. I was going to show a video, but I decided against it because I can't watch it without getting angry in some way. It was some woman pastor at a church, way progressive church. And basically she was saying that we should not call God Father, because some people have been hurt by their fathers. And whenever we do that, we are bringing back up the pain that they felt and are now associating that pain with God. And we are pulling people away from God by referring to him as Father. Well, first off, Jesus called God Father hundreds of times. In the Old Testament, we can go and see that God calls himself Father to the nation of Israel. This is the title and the relationship that God has given himself. And it isn't that we're supposed to avoid the pain of an earthly father's sin that causes us such pain and at times maybe despair, but instead to know that God is the perfect father. That our hearts can be healed by the love that he bestows upon us. that we don't have to live in the bondage of the sin of a man on this world who made poor decisions and wreaked havoc upon my heart. That his son was sent to conquer over sin and death. And that the sacrifice that was given on our behalf reconciles us to a holy and loving Father. And that we are grafted into his family as children. Going back to the idea of spiritual fathers, there are many people who could use a better example, who could use a spiritual father here in this life because their real father has given up on that. Pastor Rick has been that for me. You know, I was 20-something years old when I came here, and I thought I was past all that, and I don't think I've ever really expressed this to him, but that's what I needed. And here, I don't know, 13 years later, he has discipled so much into my life. I didn't think he was going to be here this morning, so I felt free to talk about this, but now it's awkward. He's been that for me. We've spent countless hours in his office talking about life. Sometimes we spend 2 hours talking about tomatoes, but sometimes we get really deep into life. He was there when all of my children were born. I had no kids when I first met him, and he's been there every step of the way to help me as a father. He's been there since nearly the beginning of my marriage, every single step of the way to help me in my marriage. Not that my marriage was ever on the rocks or anything, but as a spiritual man wanting to glorify God in my marriage, Pastor Rick was there to guide me in that. Me now as a pastor is because he has poured his life into me whenever I needed it. And more of us should be more of that for more people, because this world is full of people who do not have spiritual fathers. Their real biological fathers have given up on that, and they need it. I needed it. And I'm blessed that God put someone in my life who filled that for me. So fathers, we have an important job. Let's reread Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the calling of a father, to bestow upon his children the knowledge of God by continually being in their life to give them that. But we don't do it on our own. Our Father in heaven has given us everything that we need, especially grace and mercy in times of need. And for those who are trying their best, I pray God's blessing over you in it. And for the women who are maybe wife to a father or have a close relationship to a father, I hope that we can take from this, or that you can take from this, what the burden is that's given to a man. And that you can understand better how to encourage him in this. My wife, Jamie, she does this very well. She knows the calling that God has put on my life, and she is kind and gracious and patient with me, but she's the one that challenges me the most, and she doesn't let things slide. She'll remind me that I'm not practicing what I preach. She'll remind me that, you know, God the Father is not that way, so we shouldn't be with our children. My wife is absolutely instrumental in me glorifying God as a father in the way that I'm called. And my prayer is that you women could be that for your husbands. Let's pray, and we'll sing one more song together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to talk about fathers and fatherhood. Lord, it's a big topic, one that our world needs to think about more as fatherlessness in our country is at an all-time high. And we saw these statistics where we see that children who do not have a fatherly role model showing them who God is, that the chance of them knowing you and truly seeking after you is desperate. So Lord, I pray over the fathers this morning. Lord, that we would think about the calling on our lives and we would desire to do it better. Lord, that you have given to us the task to emulate your characteristics, to be the example of you in this world to our children, to set them up in life with a right view of who you are and what your promises are. And Lord, I thank you that you do not ask us to do this on our own, because we are so incapable of it. But instead, Lord, you've poured out your love on me, on us as fathers. Lord, you've given us the promise in your word that we have everything that we need, that you will give us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to correct us along the way, that you will comfort us when we need comfort, that you will forgive us when we mess up, and that you will be the guiding hand through it all. Lord, I thank you for those who have stepped out as spiritual fathers to those in need. Lord, I pray blessings over them. Lord, we thank you for your word and this morning to talk about it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.